Zion Kislev, 15th of November, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Parsha Insight.
Good morning. Good morning. It's somewhat bittersweet to be back here.
Yes, for sure.
It's always a success to be here. But I always used to start off with a good morning.
Yeah.
I come with Norman and Bishus Avi Meiri. Bishus Avi Meiri. I would like to take the opportunity to thank you all for two things. First of all, to thank you for the outpouring of warmth and the chodah that you all came to, you gave through this difficult period. And also for the way you welcomed my father here, Harini Kaboros Mishkove, for so long. In his seat and his coffee and his cake and everything else, and he enjoyed being part of the Torah Way family. So I very much appreciate that, and thank you for the kindness that you showed him. Parashas Vayetze, and please God, these words should be, should serve as a zechus and a milin neshama for him. I've picked four separate themes in this week's parasha, some very, very interesting ideas, which I hope are new or not familiar to everyone. The first question is, the pasuk begins, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana. So the pasuk tells us quite clearly what the destination of Yaakov Avinu was. He was going to Charan. Seems quite clear. The trouble is, and in fact Rashi spells it out, Rashi on the first pasuk says, Vayelech Charana Yotze Loleches, Yotze Loleches L'Charan. Yet, on the previous pasuk, which is the last pasuk in last week's parash, and Pashas told us, you'll remember there's a long Rashi which sets out the ages of Yaakov, of Yitzchak, of Ishmael, at the various important junctions of recent parshas. And there Rashi says, "V'lamadnu mikan shenitman beveis eva arbes reishono." That actually, when he left after last week's parsha and he ran away from Esav, he didn't go to Haran, but rather that he went and he learned in yeshiva for 14 years. So my question is very simple. When Yaakov left, when he ran away from Esav, what was in his mind? Where was he going? Was he going to Charan, or was he going to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber? What did he put in the sat-nav? What postcode did he put in? Charan, or did he put in yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber?
Oh,
so let's have a look. So there is a Gemara in Kiddushin. I came across a very nice answer to this question in the writings of Rav Lopiansky, the youngest son-in-law of Nosson Zvi Finkel. He quotes someone called the Asifas Koyin. He says a very nice answer. We need some background. There is a Gemara in Kiddushin, a famous Gemara. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, in your second box, paragraph 1b. The Gemara says, Tonu Rabbono, Lil Noi Toira V'Lissa Isha. A person has an opportunity either to go learn or to get married. So he's finished school, he's finished, what should he do? Says the Gemara, Yilmei Torah v'achach yiso isha. First he should learn, and then he should get married. V'im'i'ef shelo b'lo isha. If he can't survive, he can't live without being married, then yiso isha v'achach yilmei Torah. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, what do we do? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, halacha, no yisei isha v'achach yilmei Torah. First of all, a person should get married, and then he should learn Torah. No, you force him, he should sit and learn Torah. So you've got two opinions. What should a person do? Two opinions. One says, first get married, then learn. And the second opinion, the other way around. Says the Gemara, they're not actually arguing. Says the Gemara, halon for halohu. It depends what the area is. Is it here in Bavel, or is it there in Eretz Yisrael? Now, Rashi and Tosfos argue a little bit, but we won't go into it, exactly how you explain halon v'halohu. But what emerges from this conclusion of the Gemara is the following. That if a person is wealthy and has sort of independent financial wealth, and he doesn't need to earn, doesn't have a regular job to earn a day-to-day living, then he should actually get married first, and then only later he should go learn Torah. After he's married. However, if a person doesn't have independent wealth, and a person needs to put bread on the table when he gets married, he assumes financial responsibility, so better he learns first, and then afterwards to get married. That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Therefore, this is going to help us answer our question. Again, our question is, for those who come in, when Yaakov Avinu left after last week's parasha, what was his destination? Was he heading to Charan, as the Pasuk implies, the first Rashi in this week's parasha implies? Or was he heading to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva, which is mashma from Rashi in last week's sefer, the last Rashi in last week's parasha? Take a look, please, at the penultimate box on the page. Another important Rashi, again, a well-known Rashi. The Pasuk says, Vayishak Yaakov L'Rochel, Vayiso Eskole Vayevk. In this week's parasha, the first encounter when Yaakov Avinu meets Rachel, the Pasuk says he embraced her, and then he raised his voice, Vayev, and he cried. Why did he cry? So Rashi says two pshatim. The first pshat is, L'fi she'tzofa b'racha kodesh she'enu nichnes simel kvura. He saw that he's not going to be buried in Baras Machpela with Rachel. Yeah, and that's what happens. He was buried with Leah, and Rachel is buried, as we know, in Kever Rachel. And therefore he cried because he wasn't going to be buried with her. That's one pshat. Dova acher, says Rashi. Because when he came, he was empty-handed. Omar, he said as follows, Eliezer, Eved Avi Abo, Eliezer, the servant of my grandfather Avraham, Hoyu Biyodov Nezomim at Smidim and Donas, he came with jewelry and wealth. V'ani Ein Biyodi Klum, I'm coming with nothing, empty-handed. Why? L'fisherodov Eliphaz ben Esav, b'mitzvahs Aviv Acharov. Because Eliphaz came on the instruction of his father, chasing after Yaakov Inu, Lahorgoi, to kill him. But he sees when he caught up with Yaakov, but because Eliphaz had grown up in the house of his grandfather Yitzchok, Moshach Yodai, he held back and he didn't touch Yaakov Avinu. So he said to Yaakov, Uncle Yaakov, I'll hold back, but what am I going to do about my father's instruction? He told me, I've got to kill you, what should I do? Take everything I've got, dispossess me of all my possessions, and therefore I'll be poor. That's considered like a mess. And to that extent, you fulfilled the tzivu of your father that you've killed me. Fine. It says the Asifas Kohen, a very beautiful pshat. When Yaakov Avinu left his parents' home at the end of last week's parasha, he was a man of wealth. So according to the conclusion of the Gemara in Kiddushin, the halacha is, halon vahalu, as interpreted by the Mefarshim, that if a person has independent wealth, so then you first get married, and then afterwards you go learn. So therefore his destination was to go straight to Haran. However, something happened on the way that changed all that. When he met Eliphaz, and Eliphaz dispossessed him of all his worldly goods, he became an Oni. So then the halacha changes. The halacha changes that when you're poor and you cannot sustain a wife unless you work, so then you've got to go learn Torah first. So therefore he changed his destination, he went to learn, and only afterwards, after he finished learning, did he go and get married. So that answers our question. So when he left last week's parasha, Vayetze Yaakov, he went straight to Choron, that was his intention because he was a man of means, etc. And something changed on the way, he had to change his plan. That's the first offering. Now, the second offering I saw in the writings of Rav Gifta. Rav Gifta, the famous, tells Yorosh Hashiva. He says a beautiful... Yorosh Hashiva. He says a beautiful pshat. So it'll be familiar to you. He says as follows. Vayivka b'mokum. But after Yaakov Avinu, he runs away. He famously arrives at the place, the Mokum HaMikdash, Vayolen Shom, Kibo HaShemesh, Vayikach me'av me'hamokum. And he takes the stones of the place, and he sleeps. And he wakes up a few psukim later, after he's had his famous dream. And he takes the Evan. So of course the glaring problem is that the pasuk begins by talking about the stones in plural. And then the next morning when he wakes up, so Rashi on the pasuk quotes the famous Gemara in Chulin, which says at the bottom box, it says as follows. Which one is it? Plural, singular? So, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Melamed Sheniskabtsu Kol Ois Navonim Lemokum Echot. We see, it teaches us that all the stones gathered together to one stone, V'kol Achas V'achas Emeres Olai Oniach Tzadik Ezreisha. And every stone said, Allah Yoniach Sadek Etz Roshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. So when he set out, it was Avnei HaMokah, there were lots of stones. Each one wanted the Zuchus, that Yaakov's head should be resting on it. And therefore it came to one heaven. Yeah, well-known Rashi, well-known Gemara. Rav Gifta quotes a Me'iri. He says a beautiful pshat in this well-known Gemara. The Me'iri is to his Hakdoma Tzashas. And he says, I'll tell you first what he says, and then we'll see it inside. He says the following. Avonim, stones, represent stumbling blocks in a person's life, obstacles. And the purpose of the Pasuk telling us that he took the disparate stones and joined them together, because for a tzaddik, these challenges, these negative character traits perhaps, these obstacles, are channeled together, all in service of a person's Avodas Hashem. Now I'll explain this further by way of a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Barosi Yetzahara, Barosi Torah Tavlin. Yeah, I created the Yetzahara, so I created Torah as the Tavlin. Now normally that's understood to mean that it's the antidote. You've got a Yetzahara, how do you counter it? With Torah. Barosi Yetzahara, Barosi Torah Tavlin. The trouble is, the word Tavlin doesn't really mean antidote. Tavlin means spices, right? Tavlin is spices. You go into a store in, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you go into, let's say, a burger bar, right? And you'll say, can I have some tavlin? So they'll give you salt and pepper and ketchup, mustard. They're condiments. They're condiments to the... Now, pump out, you know, sort of insert that back into the Gemara. Barosi Yetzara, I created the Yetzara. Barosi Torah, I created Torah as the ketchup for the Yetzirah, as the pepper, the salt. What does that mean? So I once heard a very beautiful pshat. People misunderstand what Yetzirah is. People think it's sort of this, you know, you have this picture of a devil with a flip-flop fork and this trying to entice you to do bad things. Yetzirah is just energy. It's just energy which needs to be channeled. So a person, the marshal, a person's got a good brain, a good cop. So you can either use that good cop for a productive means, you could use it for the benefit of society, whatever that means, or you could use it in a negative way. A person's got a good sense of humour. So either you could use that sense of humour to brighten people's day, to enhance, to build people, to make a difficult situation a bit more, you know, a bit easier, or you could use your sense of humour to destroy people and to break and make fun, etc., etc. It's neutral, but it just needs to be channeled in the right way. That's what the Gemara means. Barosi Yetzora, Barosi Torah, Tavlin. It channels that energy. That's what it does. That's what Tavlin does to a food. It's still the same, whatever it may be. It just channels the food. It enhances it and directs it. Yeah.
That's why you see Moshreil, the base of Medrash. You're taking that energy.
Moshreil, yeah. Don't try and stamp it. Moshreil, the base of Medrash, to channel it. Exactly, what the Gemara says. Good. Now, that is pshat in what this Me'iri is saying. Let's take a look at the Me'iri inside. It's the top box on the second page. Says the Me'iri in his Hakdoma to the Beis HaBechira. V'zois hakavona etzli. This is my understanding. B'mesheromzu b'midrashas al shlemes Yaakov Avinu. That this is the remez regarding what all the midrashim say about the perfection of Yaakov Avinu. V'shebiyose b'derech, when he was on the way just now in the beginning of this week's parasha, he had many impediments. Minatzoras, from all the difficulties he had, vahatirdos, and all the troubles. Kamesha noida mehaoni, he was impoverished, as we just saw from Eliphaz. Or min inui haderech, the travails of the journey. Or min pachad redifas ha'ovim, there were people running after him. There was Esav was out to get him, Eliphaz was after him. Va'omar, shebe'ez hispoidedu, when he had time to introspect, to have that solitude. And he was on that elevated level, he transformed every impediment, every difficulty, and he subjugated it to his rotzen. He said, let me be subordinate to you, let the tzaddik be on top of me. He gathered together all the moinim, until they were channeled according to his intention. That's what it means. It was tachas mirashosov. He was on top of them. He was able to direct them. He was in control of them. A very beautiful idea. And therefore, he's subjugating all those impediments, all those difficulties, all the negativity. They became a mizbeach l'Hashem, that one stone. And that's really what a tzaddik does. A tzaddik doesn't destroy, doesn't crush the Yetzer Hara, but rather what he does, he channels it in a more positive direction, and he makes it, that negativity, subservient to him. That's one pshat. Another pshat Rav Gifter also gives is a very beautiful pshat. Normally when a person has Yetzer Hara, it pulls a person in different directions. Yes, I'll give you a marshal. Yeah, I teach, as you know, in the Hasmonean in the basic mentorship program in the mornings. Now, this morning, it's the reason why I'm here, I've got half term, I'm not bunking, don't worry. So this morning I would imagine some boys, there's no school, some boys, not all, but some boys will have a challenge this morning. They haven't got a Bahavan calling them up, they haven't got me driving them out, so they may be sleeping in bed. So the guy could set his alarm for 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and he could still be sleeping in bed. The Yetzer Hara is telling him, shluf, shluf, snooze a bit more. There's another Yetzer Hara when he's lying there, perhaps, saying, you know what, your stomach is hungry, go eat. So Nebuch, he's got the tension, right? Do I sleep in bed? My goof is saying, shluf more. My stomach is saying, get out of bed and eat something. My head is saying, check my phone, you know, any important deals that I've missed so far this morning. So he's pulled in different ways. A tzaddik, however, whose sole focus in life is Avodas Hashem, there is only one pull. Mm. It's only in one direction. That's what it means. So Vayikach es Avne Hamokum, which is pulling in different directions, and he takes all those Avonim and he makes it into one, and I've got one focus in life, and that is Avodas Hashem. That's what it means. Very, very beautiful, very beautiful pshat. Okay. And that, by the way, fits in very beautifully to Gemara. I think I've once said it here, actually. Well-known vault. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Samaches on the base. It's in Mole Hayyoma, the Gemara says. Rabbi Yosef says, if you look in the third box on page 2, Rabbi Yosef B'yoma Da'at Tzar to Omar. Rabbi Yosef says, on the day of Shavuos, he would say, Abdili Egle Tilsa, make me a delicious meal. Eloi Hayyoma de Kogar, were it not for this day of Shavuos, of Matan Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. Right, so there'd be many. I'd be a regular Joe. That's what it means. Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. If it wasn't for the Torah, I wouldn't be anyone special. I'd be a regular Joe. I think it's Rav Ruderman who says, "What do you mean a regular Joe?" Rav Yosef Yamira was an exceptional person. So you know, he'd be a Professor Joe, a Doctor Joe, a CEO Joe. Right? Why just a regular Joe? What does he mean? So I think it's Rav Ruderman who says a beautiful pshat. When a person is not living according to Torah, he's pulled in different directions. You know, how you behave in business could be different to how you behave at home, which is how you're different when you play on the football field, different how you behave with this person, with that person. You're different, disparate individuals. Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. There'd be lots of different Yosefs. All me, but I'd be a disparate person. But now I've got Matan Torah, and I've got a focus in my life. There's just one Rav Yosef. My sole focus is Avodas Hashem. Very beautiful shot. Okay, let's press on. The question is, Yaakov Avinu did go away for 14 years, as Rashi taught us in last week's parasha. Why aren't we told it? Why does the Torah hide it, sort of sneak it in there, that we have to learn a Rashi, a long Rashi, in last week, the end of last week's parasha, to find out that there are 14 hidden years? And Rashi gets from a Gemara in Megillah, there's a whole Omud which goes through and works out, and we finally discover that there were missing 14 years, and that's the 14 years he went to Shem Ve'eva. Why doesn't the Torah just say it straight? That when he left the house of Yitzchak and Rivka, he went to learn for 14 years, and then he went to Choron to marry Rivka, to Rochel and Leah. Why doesn't the Torah just say it straight? Furthermore, the Loshon of Chazal, the Loshon of the Rashi, which we just read, is Nitman b'Beis Eved. He was hidden. What's Pshat Nitman? He was Yosha v'Lomad b'Shivas Beis Shem v'Eved. Why Nitman? He was hidden there. So you want to say maybe he was hiding from Esav? No. I think there's more to it. So, again, I saw this in the writings of Rav Gifter, and he says a very beautiful pshat. Take a look, please, at paragraph 3. The pasuk says, Vayivka ba'mokam vayolen sham kivah ha-shemesh, vayishkav ba'mokam ha-hu. And he laid down in that place. Just said, Vayishkav ba'mokam. Why ba'mokam ha-hu? So the Gemara says, Rashi quotes, Loshen miut. It's a loshen of exclusion. Ba'mokam ba'isim mokam shocha. There Yaakov Avinu slept, But for the 14 years previously, he didn't sleep. Now, you think, sometimes you read this Rashi thing, really? You can't sleep, you can't not sleep. The Gemara says in the Dorim, you can't go 3 days without sleep. I've seen people do this. When I was in the Mir, one of my rabbeim was a person who literally only got into bed from one Shabbos to the next. He woke up Shabbos morning, and every night he would sit by a shtender, and he would doze for a few hours and wake up, and he would just carry on. That's how it was. So of course Yaakov, but he dozed, he didn't sleep. That's what it means. So Yaakov Avinu, Vayishkav Balaylo Ahu. Now, Rav Gifta says, the Torah is teaching us how to use time when you're in yeshiva. The Torah is teaching us when a person has got this precious opportunity of being in yeshiva, the success you're going to have depends on your Amelus Batoira, and the secret is what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us. That a person has got to be nitman, he's got to be hidden as if there's nothing else going on in the world. Your focus has got to be right now to learn Torah. You're sort of hidden from the world, as it were. Benjamin Moskovich, I once heard someone say in his name, a very interesting anecdote. Everyone remembers, those who are of the age, where they were when JFK was killed, was assassinated. Yeah, where was I when JFK, yeah. So Benjamin Moskovich says, you know where I was? It was 3 months later, and I was, where were you when you found out that JFK was killed? I'll tell you where I was. It was 3 months after he was assassinated, and I was in the Ponovich Beis HaMedrash.
Wow.
In other words, I only found out 3 months later. That's where I was when I found out that JFK was assassinated. Because he was shagging away in the Ponovich Beis HaMedrash. Imagine someone else saying, you only heard about September the 11th in January time. Yeah, I think with the world today, it's a bit more difficult. But the point is, that is the secret to success in Amelus Batorah. Therefore, says Rav Gifta, that's why Chazal say he was nitzman b'beis shein ve'eva. He was hidden away there, because success in Torah, you've got to just pretend there's nothing else out there. Now, I'm just sitting there, there's a base medrash, that's all there is. And that's why the Torah doesn't even tell me, it disguises it, it hides it, because it's alluding to the secret of how you have success in Amelus Batorah. Okay, let's just finish off with one fourth and final. Sorry, just there's one vase I wanted to say. The Rav Gifta, they says a footnote in the Sefer there. Quite a well-known story about Rav Gifta. Really, it's about this concept of Amelus Batoira. Rav Gifta was the Rosh Hashiva of Tells. Now, unfortunately, part of the package of being a Rosh Hashiva, apart from giving Shir Kloli and raising the next generation of Talmidei Chachomim and Balabatim, etc., etc., it's to fundraise, to do that. So Rav Gifta had to go one time and he had an appointment. And there was one fellow he wanted to meet, but it was impossible to tie this guy down. He was never at home. He went to visit his home, he had a beautiful home, a wealthy fellow, but he was never there. So he managed to get hold of the fellow's secretary. And he says, look, the guy works long hours, he's here very early in the morning till late at night, it's hard to get hold of him. So Rav Gifta said, you know what, I'll come to his office early in the morning. I'll come to his office 7:30 in the morning. And he says, fine. The secretary said, fine. So he goes along with Gifta, wherever it was. He goes to the office, and he's ushered in. The guy's on the phone. It's a transatlantic call. He's calling Europe because the European markets are still going. Gifta's sitting there for a few minutes, and he's looking around. And he notices that in his office, there's a folding bed in the corner. So he finishes the call, and he says to this businessman, he goes, please excuse me. I have to ask you a question. He says, I've been to your house. You're never there. You've got a beautiful home, a palatial home, and you're here, and when you sleep at night, you're sleeping in the, put you up in the corner. So listen to what the fellow said. I've got it written down here. He says, Azman will matzliach sein in Geschäft, darf man liegen in Geschäft. If you want to succeed in business, you've got to immerse yourself fully in the business. Says Rav Gifta, he says, thank you. He says, I don't know what donation you're going to give me, but it was worth coming for that lesson alone. We say Birchas HaTorah, La'asok B'divrei Torah. It's got to become an asik for us. The success of Torah is if we immerse ourselves in Torah. And that's why the Torah doesn't tell me that he was hidden for 14 years, because it doesn't want to say that. That's the secret to success in Torah. To hide as if you're sort of just under the radar. Okay, one final vot. The Haftorah, my father used to love Novi and Haftorah. So, L'chvoyde, let's say just a short vot on this week's Haftorah. The last pasuk in this week's Haftorah is some beautiful words from Hosea. The pasuk says, the last pasuk of Haftorah, Ki yesharim darchei Hashem, the tzadikim yelchuvom, Upoishim Yikoshnubam. That's the end of this week's Haftarah. That the ways of Hashem are Yashar, upright and just. Tzadikim go according to that way, and Poishim, those who rebel, those who are sinners, Yikoshnubam. Now this ending of this Haftarah seems a bit difficult, because there is a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Erechaim, in Simon Kuf Lamed Ches, the Ramah actually says that whenever you finish either the Kriya or the Haftarah, you should finish on a positive note. Says the halach of Yichavin Sheyaschil Tomid Likre Bedovatov Yisayim Bedovatov. You should finish on a good note. So therefore, how can we finish this week's Haftarah Poishim Yikoshnubam? And to make matters worse, we say Kimat the same Haftarah on Shabbos Shuvah. And on Shabbos Shuvah, because of this, we add in Psukim to overcome this problem, the Psukim of Mikal Komoich of Tashlich Psukim. So why? How come in this week's parasha we just leave it and we seem to violate this word, the words of the Ramah, Yisayim Bedovatov? So I heard from Rabbi Vixenspanner a very, very nice answer. He says, I can't remember if it was his idea or if he quoted someone, but he said this. He said that, who are we referring to? Who, when it says, Upoishim Yikoshlubam, who are we referring to? In this week's Haftarah, we are referring to Lavan. That's the connection of to this week's parasha. So when referring to Lavan, one of the villains in Jewish history, so we say, Upoishim Yikoshlubam. I haven't got a problem with that. But on Shabbos Shuvah, we're referring to Klal Yisrael. So we don't want to refer to Klal Yisrael as Upoishim Yikoshlubam, that some people succeed, some people slip. So to counter that problem, to be Messiah Medovatov, we add in the Psukim, the Tashlich Psukim. But this week's parasha, there's no problem. So therefore, we're referring to Lavan, and therefore it's appropriate, if you like, to finish off. So just to conclude, just to summarize our four ideas, what was Yaakov's destination? Was it Choron? Was it Shem Ve'eva? The Teretz says it changed. It went out to Choron, because as the Asif HaSkoyen explains, as per the Gemara in Kiddushin, that if a person has independent wealth, so then he should first get married, and that's what Yaakov did. He went to get married. However, en route, he lost all his wealth, so then halacha changes, you first learn Torah, and then you get married. The second vort is, Vayikach me'avne ha'mokam, Vayikach eso even. The Me'iri says, Tachas mirashosov, that Tzadik takes all these, the negative traits, the difficulties, the stumbling blocks, the impediments, and he channels it in a positive way. That's the remez. And it's Tachas mirashosov, it's subservient to me. The second idea was that they're conflicting, they're disparate, but he channels them in one direction, a direction just of straightforward, singular Avodas Hashem. The third idea was, why doesn't the Torah tell me straight away that he was Nitzman, he went away for 14 years? The answer is the Torah is alluding to the secret of success in Torah. That a person has got to be under the radar, focused, not trying to do too many things, and very much focused on his Avodas Hashem of learning Torah. And finally, how come this week's Haftarah finishes supposed to be Koshnabon seems to violate the rule of the Ramah? Says Rabbi Vixenspanner, no, this week's Haftarah is referring to Lavan, and therefore it's appropriate. On Shabbos Shuvah, however, we're referring to Klal Yisrael, so therefore we have to redress it by adding those Pesukim.
Thank you. We finished off with a law from Rabbi Vixenspanner. So, Adoni asked me to remind everybody that the program tonight is a taste of Shabbos, 9 o'clock in Mechzik Adas, and the speakers are Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt on Inyonim of Halacha, and then on the Seder you can hear Rabbi Vixenspanner. You might even hear the same vote again. So, anybody wants to go between 9 and 10, followed by hot refreshments, Kegel and Shalant. Bakalov, 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 Bakalov,